Hey, Drew.
Hello, John.
This isn't the podcast Gotham needs. It's the podcast Gotham deserves.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcut,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
For this entire podcast, I'm going to speak as Bane. And you're going to speak as Batman.
I'm not really going to do that. So Batman, let's rewind.
Dial right? It back a little bit.
1989?
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Blows us all away.
Who knew, right? Man?
Ugh.
I mean, now try to picture yourself. Imagine that happens now.
Had Mr. Mom just come out?
Imagine, done? Imagine Steve Carell gets cast as Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Picture that.
Ugh.
You know, at the time, it was like, I didn't really know who Michael Keaton was. You know, I knew he was that guy, but I didn't know much, you know, of his place.
He had done Beetlejuice, I think, by that point.
And I loved Beetlejuice, but I didn't put two and two together.
Which is probably what got him Batman, because Tim Burton
did
Beetlejuice and then Batman.
Yeah.
But
the real the coup there was Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Yeah.
And that was, so you could almost get away with anything Batman.
That's true. I mean, they probably banked that movie and marketed it with Jack Nicholson.
And it worked. Yeah. Everybody turned out to see Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I think we've talked about it before, but it's hard for me to like him as the Joker anymore.
In retrospect, after seeing Heath Ledger
and after Mark Hamill doing the Joker
the
for the
series.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Because all I see is Jack Nicholson sort of mugging the whole time.
Which is, basically what it was.
But I never really thought, if you said, okay, new Batman for Justice League, Steve Carell. Thank goodness the internet didn't exist in 1989.
Oh, yeah. We would have ruined that.
Because I'm sure comics geeks were like, what? Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
But they can only yell that to their friends.
Right.
They didn't have a reach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
In my opinion, again, has yet to be surpassed.
Yeah. He does an incredible... Let's make
a distinction about this character.
Okay.
If you're playing Superman, you kind of only have to play one role. And that's Clark Kent, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of the same dude. Superman, Clark Kent.
Yeah.
He just wears different clothes.
Yeah.
But he pretty much acts like
the
same guy.
He's putting on an act, but you're an actor, so you can...
Yeah.
You can...
Right.
Yeah.
Batman is two different characters. Mm. There's Bruce Wayne and there's Batman. And there's a very clear split, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to, if you're going to be Batman, you have to play two characters effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Keaton did both.
He does. And I think the harder of the two is Bruce Wayne.
And he's weird.
He's so great because
odd and off, but charming.
And believable.
Yes.
And no, at no point... In the Nolan trilogy, do I ever buy that the public thinks that Bruce Wayne is this irrational millionaire playboy that he is projecting, you know, in as Bruce Wayne? Mm-hmm. You know, he always makes these grandiose gestures as in his portrayal of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're at all convincing.
Yeah.
You know, like it always looks like an act to me.
Yeah.
Whereas Keaton's Bruce Wayne is just such an oddball, you know, which to me I think is convincing.
Yeah,
I think that's the way you do.
And
Bruce Wayne.
His Batman is calm and collected.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, the Batman character, the idea is that this is where Bruce Wayne is able to deal with the pain that he feels, right? Mm-hmm. The daily pain that he feels through the loss of his parents.
Right.
And in my opinion, Keaton's Batman is tortured, you know,
mm-hmm.
and despite some sort of silly moments,
sure.
And which honestly I would attribute more to that era of movies than I would to, the story itself.
Yeah.
He is the stoic sort of stiff because of the suit probably, Batman
mm-hmm.
that you kind of expect.
He's always thinking. I feel that's the impression
he
gives off to me, is that he is always thinking things through. Yeah. Whereas in, you know, by contrast, the Nolan Batman.
Yeah.
He
seems sort of just relies on brute force a lot of the time and off the cuff thinking.
He has you get the sense that he has thought things through, but you don't really see him making those deductions.
And
you know,
the things that he has Keaton thought does. Through are so stupid. Like the plans that he puts into place
uh-huh.
are such a waste of time. Like how many times has he made the bat logo in fire in those movies?
And what is the incredible waste of time? Yeah, what good does that do? No one ever seems to like be fearful because he's set a bat logo
they
on fire.
At it.
Yeah, yeah.
So dumb. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah, Keaton's Batman is great. I think the style of those movies now looks, you know, somewhat aged. Overly outlandish
and
cartoony.
Sure.
But I think the tone is pretty right on. And I think the movie still works. I think it still holds up.
And there's really dark moments in those first two movies,
the first Batman and
Batman Returns. Like Catwoman and Batman Returns
mm-hmm.
is really great.
Yeah.
And Michelle Pfeiffer does an excellent job also of playing two characters, Selina Kyle and Catwoman. And sort of three, because her first Selina Kyle is like this really...
The mousy
Selina character. Kyle. And then she's like the vampy Selina Kyle, and she's Catwoman.
Yeah, she does a good job of playing somebody who's like sort of schizophrenic.
Yeah. And her transformation into Catwoman is really weird and cool. Uh-huh. And, you know, those cats like enveloping her and like chewing on her.
Yeah.
You know? But she's essentially killed, right, by Christopher Walken. That's a credible scene.
Yeah.
And then when she gets her revenge, it's so, like...
Oh, man, I forgot all about that scene.
Given the tone of those movies, where they are somewhat comedic
at times. Yeah.
They're campy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an intense scene.
Yeah.
She sticks a taser in his mouth.
Yeah, I know a lot of people criticize that one in particular as being overly grotesque.
Sure.
And it is, and I love it.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think it's the logical extension of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it confronts you with that. It says, this is a guy whose identity is defined by his resemblance to a penguin.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's going to be, and you know, he's grown up away from humanity, you know, and she has basically been on her own. She has never had a friend, we're led to believe, or any kind of family or support or anything. So, of course, she's going to act a little bit kooky.
She was murdered.
Yeah, that too. Also.
Yeah. Well, and you see that, and I think that this happens often with Batman. You know, Batman often sees himself in his villains.
Yeah.
You know, he is the other side of the coin, as it were, to allude to a different Batman villain, in so much as he has experienced tragedy in his life and he has harnessed it to do good, right?
Uh-huh.
Whereas the villains he faces have often also experienced tragedy in their lives, but they go the other direction with it. And Catwoman... has for a long time sort of been on the fence. She's sort of a neutral party in that she does good and bad, and she kind of mm-hmm. is a mercenary. She does for herself, right? And so she goes to certain lengths that Batman's not willing to go, but that he could go.
Yeah.
You know, that he is of a like mind with Catwoman and can, if he let himself, could kind of...
He sees the appeal of stepping away from the vigilance and just catering to his role in life, you know, where he is, his situation.
It's a really good dynamic that I didn't think about before, that I don't know that it's really successfully displayed in any of the movies, mm-hmm. but the dynamic between Batman and Catwoman is really good, because not only is he tempted by her lifestyle and her ability to be sort of free with her anger and with her sort of rage against the things that have happened to her, but he's also tempted by her romantically,
physically, and, you know? Yeah, yeah. Oh, the scene where they realize who each other is, that dance, it's incredible.
Yeah. And then you have Batman Forever.
Yeah. Again, like, I feel like here we are with the Superman movies over again, you know, like,
I think it has its moments, has its merits.
I don't remember anything about Batman Forever.
You've got...
I really don't.
It's the Riddler and Two-Face.
And Two-Face, yeah.
Also...
Drew Barrymore's in it. I remember
that. Yeah, yeah. Some interesting casting choices. Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good Riddler, actually, because he takes it to a really strange place by the end of that movie.
I think he's undermined by what's going on around him.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And Val Kilmer is your Batman.
Who is not even there.
Yeah.
So not even there in any regard. He's not Bruce Wayne. He's not Batman. He's not there. He just does not exist
in
that movie.
He's a better... I'm trying to think if he's a better Batman or a better Bruce Wayne in regards to his own performance, like which he does better.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it in so long. I don't know if I can make it.
I think that's telling.
Right, and then Robin.
Yeah,
this
Chris
is our
O'Donnell.
First introduction to Robin in the movies, which they do the thing that they always do, which drives me insane, is he doesn't get into that Robin suit until the very end. And then it goes way, way off the reservation with Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze, and Uma Thurman is Poison Ivy. And you also have Bane.
She was a good Poison Ivy.
Yeah, she
I give her
bad.
That. Bane was a joke.
Yeah.
In that. Everybody was a joke in that. You get Batgirl in that one.
Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
And George Clooney is Batman. Now, I like George Clooney.
I love George Clooney. I think he's awesome.
He was good Bruce Wayne.
Not a
great one.
He was acceptable.
Yeah.
Not a good Batman.
Batman Forever and Batman and Robin sort of shut Batman down for a while.
Yeah.
Until Christopher Nolan came around. And it was time to revisit the well.
The well. Which, if you've seen Batman Begins, makes a lot of sense that I said that.
With Batman Begins. Which might be the worst Batman movie.
Which is funny because a lot of people think it's the best.
I know.
I don't understand it either, but...
It's two movies in one. You have the tale of Bruce Wayne becoming Batman, and then you have the tale of Gotham City in peril. There's like two separate movies in my mind.
Yeah,
and neither of them's good. You have what may be the worst Batman. Val Kilmer wasn't there. But he wasn't offensive to me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean offensive, like...
Like, you know, cringe-inducing. Yeah. You don't... Yeah.
Bruce Wayne. George Clooney. You know, whatever, George Clooney.
Yeah.
But Christian Bale's Batman is so bad. And it gets worse with every movie. And like, his Batman voice is awful. I mean, everyone makes fun of it. Everyone does.
Do you ever think that maybe that's intentional? We're supposed to assume that Bruce Wayne is just like losing it over the course of those movies?
Maybe.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there and saying that he's so indulgent in this persona as Batman. And because of who he is, you know, as an independently wealthy person,
yeah,
he's never forced to question really whether or not what he's doing is actually, it makes sense to the common mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can. Fair enough.
I can see if his Batman is a good portrayal of an indulgent Batman.
A Batman who never learns his lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is.
And that's my biggest complaint with Batman Begins is that you never really see him struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his first night out, he gets like a bruise or something.
But doesn't he get beat up in the ninja school a lot?
But that's before he becomes Batman. Yeah. You know, I want him to fail as Batman.
There's all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of problems. I will give this trilogy this. That Batman was on a trajectory and it satisfied it to a certain degree in that the Batman that was presented to us in these movies could not last.
Yeah.
Would die.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good point.
And he does. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it that. But the problem with that, in my opinion, is that Batman, to me, he's not a bonfire. He's not an out of control flame. He is in control. It's much more interesting if Batman is in control the majority of the time of his anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of his fury. That he's sort of holding in, and it comes out here and there. That's way more interesting to me than the constant loose cannon that seems to be displayed in these Batman movies.
And I think that is the traditional depiction of Batman, that he is calculating and in control. And I don't like those movies. I don't like the Nolan movies overall.
I like one of them.
Well, yeah, I guess that's not fair. I shouldn't say I don't like them all. But I think giving him the benefit of the doubt, I think it is his interpretation of the story.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I definitely see the value in exploring the idea that in Nolan's real world, quote-unquote, setting, I think it's not beyond the realm of possibility that somebody could come into this, enter into this enterprise of being a vigilante, and it would completely unravel over the course of time.
That's fair enough. And that's a good maybe guideline. Let's judge it solely on its own merit.
Right.
Right. You're right. And I think it is successful in that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and all of the characters are successful in as much as they're so extreme, they can't last.
Yeah.
You can't have those characters have any kind of lifespan that is continual, right?
Yeah. So, except for Commissioner Gordon,
he's incredible.
I mean, I love him, and he's my favorite part of those movies. But
he's not an extreme.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He's a normal person.
He's fairly steady. Yeah.
And Scarecrow's fine, apparently.
Yeah,
he'll keep going.
He just
the worst
keeps on trucking.
I'm gonna keep saying the worst ever, but the least scarecrowy scarecrow that ever existed in the Batman universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's another thing. I mean, I tend to agree with you, and I think that the weakest part of those movies is in the villain department.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably because of the setting that he has established. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for us to, I think, accept the high theatrics of most of the Batman villain storylines in this very grounded real world setting. But that said,
Heath Ledger,
enter Heath Ledger.
Never start with the head. The victim gets all fuzzy. He can't feel the neck. See?
You wanted me. Here I am.
I wanted to see what you'd do. And you didn't disappoint. You let 5 people die. Then you let Dent take your place. Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
Where's Dent?
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, you. You complete me.
It seems so real. Like, his portrayal, as outlandish as the Joker may look, right? Or the things that he does. Like, I believe it the whole way. Do you know what I mean? And he totally embodies that character. And it was, I'd never seen the Joker like that before, you know?
In a movie.
Especially, he had such an uphill battle because... And he probably didn't think this, but the first movie was awful. Jack Nicholson was in everybody's mind, right, for the Joker, as far as the movie going public was concerned. And he took such a different direction. The voice, his voice is so great.
Those little ticks and things. What I love about him is he recalls, there's a very specific sequence in the comics, and I think it was in the Death in the Family storyline, which in the comics, the Joker tricks and then ends up killing the second Robin character. So not the original Robin, but a replacement Robin. And for all intents and purposes, that's what he was. And they even acknowledge that, you know, I think. And there's like a point at which he's lashing out at this Robin, like physically beating him to death, and he pauses for a moment, and he just has this sort of random, almost out of body experience where he looks at what, like, he's pure rage and anger, and everything for like the whole page, and then there's this moment where he just sort of looks at it from a completely different perspective, and he just kind of giggles to himself.
It's not the same
person we just saw. It's not the violent, you know, psychopath. It's a completely different kind of psychopath, you know, right? And Heath Ledger manages to pull that off.
Yes.
There are those moments in that where he's almost taken back by how
what he's done.
That's what's so good about that.
They right from the beginning with him, they sort of set that tone of, you do not know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Right. He shows up in that room with all the sort of mob bosses and stuff. And he does his magic trick, right, where he slams the guy's head into a pencil and it's out of nowhere and it's violent and it's gruesome and it's so brief. And he's one moment, you know, Joker making jokes, next moment killing a man, and right back into,
here's my plan.
You know, and he does that masterfully through the whole thing. When he's dressed as the nurse later on, he blows up. I mean, like, that movie, I didn't need Batman in that movie at all.
Yeah.
That could have been the Joker. That movie could have just been called the Joker. Batman never shows up, and Commissioner Gordon has to deal with the Joker.
Yeah.
And I watch that
movie. Oh, that's a great idea.
You know what I mean? And unfortunately, what's great is that Batman, I can endure Batman to a certain degree because the Joker makes fun of him in that movie and sort of like presents the absurdity of the movie you're watching to you and to Batman at the same time. And that's, for me, what makes that movie not only tolerable, but really good.
Yeah. And I love that he sort of throws it back at Batman and says, like, you know, what did you think was going to happen? You dress up like a bat and you beat the shit out of people. You know, what did you think was going to happen? Of course, eventually somebody's going to try to one up you, you know, in the ridiculous category.
I like that his origins are never talked about.
Yeah.
That he makes up stories for
constantly
why he's
changing
hurt,
the
or why he's scarred or whatever. Yeah, that it's incredible. I think that Harvey Dent is really good in the movie until he turns into Two-Face.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know why they didn't do Two-Face for the third movie instead of
I don't either. And that only was reaffirmed by watching the third movie. Like that, I have long said that I think the Dark Knight peaks in the middle. Like it peaks with the explosions, the death of what's her face, and the uncertainty of Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to come out of his story. The Joker free.
The moment that one of the best moments in film in the past 10 years was the Joker driving that
police car
from the back seat.
That scene is so chilling and it's you're right. That is like one of the best like shots I think I've ever seen because it's so what's the word I'm looking for? It's seductive.
Yeah.
You know, like you totally buy into the notion of this guy as an anti-hero, you know, but it's also tragic.
Yeah.
And you feel completely powerless watching it. It's terrifying. Yeah. So good.
The look on his face.
Yeah.
The pure ecstasy he seems to be experiencing in that moment. It is incredible.
Yeah. And coming to coming from the point at which you finally feel like Batman has him, you know, I mean, he beats the hell out of him and you know, he's running off to save the day.
Yeah.
That, yeah. To have that, to sort of build you up, that movie does such a great job of creating a threatening scenario and then pulling you out at the last minute and then sucker punching you when you're in the midst of relief. And that's I swear I think that could have been such an incredible point at which to end it.
Yeah.
And that ambiguity fueling the third movie.
Yeah.
You know, if you take going into the third movie, if instead of having what's her face in it as kind of the manipulating
Catwoman?
Force or whatever. No,
The
Talia
CEO.
Yeah.
The new owner of Wayne Enterprises.
I feel like you know,
if
you had just plugged
spoiler.
Sorry.
Spoilers. It's spoiler.
Yeah, already did that. Yeah. If you had just plugged Harvey Dent into that movie.
Yeah.
You know, and had his motivations be completely ambiguous throughout. You don't know, you know, he could be running the police department and running the criminal enterprise at the same time. It could have been
It's really surprising given that Christopher Nolan's like you know, my Batman universe is a real one where real things can happen. These are things that, you know, I want you to believe could happen. Given
which
that
is then completely
Two-Face could have been just a dude
with a
split
scar
or even not even a scar. He could have just been like split personality or, you know, or a two-faced person, you know what I mean? To an extreme. But he didn't literally have to be burned half on his face.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's trying to please the comic fans, the Batman fanatics who want to see Two-Face realized as they expect him. But I think he could just as easily made a case for, like, look, this is still Two-Face. It's Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
And he has been corrupted in some way, whether that's a mental... whether he's been mentally compromised or physically compromised,
right?
He has two distinct personalities wrestling with one another, and he makes decisions based on chance, on fate, you know. As a third movie villain, that would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we get, even though it's hilarious, the voice, Bane.
Would anyone else care to challenge me? That's what I thought. DJ, drop a beat. That's right, Gotham.
On your feet. To the lyrical flow of Bane.
My Bane, yes, that's my name. When you hear the name Bane, I guarantee the pain. I'm coming after you, Bruce Wayne. I'm stronger, smarter, clinically insane. I'm Bane, that's my name. Bruce Wayne and the Batman are totally the same. I broke his back, Mortal Kombat smack. Then I cracked my 28 Krug champagne. Who likes hip hop?
I heard Gotham City was alright.
I'm Bane, yes, it's a shame. I declare martial law and you all complain. I laugh when you ask why I wear the mask. I'll explain. It's because I'm Bane. Yes, that's my name. You say it to him, what's the name becomes a name? Of course, something my plan lacks gain. If you say it to my face, I'll crash your plane. When I say no, you say survival.
You have Gotham City, you know, being isolated from wherever it happened. I don't know where it's supposed to exist in the United States.
I think it's just ostensibly New York, you know, it's on the coast.
And yet it's shot in Chicago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, yeah, I mean, it's DC's New York.
Yeah.
Right? But doesn't New York exist in the DC universe?
No.
It doesn't?
Metropolis and Gotham are sort of the...
There's no New York, really?
I don't think so. They're all made
fair
up.
Enough, fair enough.
They're
fair
all
enough.
Made up places.
Not every city.
I'm pretty sure.
I think they all are.
I think he took his wallet.
Anyway, so you have this, the city under siege, which is totally boring because nothing happens.
Yes. Yeah. There's
the city's
no
under siege. The citizens don't rebel at all.
Everybody just says, okay, well, that's fine. I'll just stay in my house and never do anything. Yeah. And it is ridiculous to me to believe that they only had like 30 people in as a resistance force.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are, what do they say, 9 million people living in Gotham, and there are only 30 people who have had the idea, hey, maybe we can fight back the 130 criminals that got out of the...
How many of us are cops or military or, you know, or martial artists or whatever?
That could have been the saving grace of that story. You know, if you have to go that way, if you assume, okay, they've, you know, Two-Face or Harvey Dent is dead, you know, this is the direction we're going in. If they had sped up everything at the beginning of the movie and really made that movie about the occupation of Gotham and had it been a sort of freedom force, you know, fighting, if they had basically done Batman's job for him.
yeah.
That would have been an incredible story.
Yeah.
You know, or at least a more interesting one.
Right.
And I say this, you know, having enjoyed the movie. Like, I enjoyed watching Dark Knight Rises.
I didn't.
But but I think partially that's because I was so let down by the end of The Dark Knight. You know, I feel like it went completely off the rails. Yeah. And so I had basically given up hope on Dark Knight Rises. And Bane was the problem, the major problem that I had. Just watching it outright.
There's nothing interesting about
him. He's too comical to be threatening, and he's not threatening enough to be...
I don't believe that he would beat Batman in a fight. When they fight...
Except that Batman's out of shape. That's the only reason
which
I give it
them. Which also is a crock.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
As made evident by...
I mean, that was basically just to facilitate... But what happens? You know, they were like, he was out of commission for 8 years, and solely so that you don't question the fact that Bane beats him.
There was a video I watched that pointed out all the inconsistencies of this movie. And one of them, which was a really great point, is that he's Batman for about a year, which apparently destroys his body beyond repair.
Yeah.
He then goes into, you know,
hibernation
for 8 years. Because his sort of girlfriend died.
Yeah.
Even
though he's been... He spent his entire life attempting to avenge his parents' death. Yeah.
And then he comes back and he's Batman again. And he can't... he knows all the same tricks that Bane. They were trained in the same place.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like.
Yeah. Well, and they lead you to believe that there's something about Bane's origin,
right,
that makes the difference. You know, mm-hmm. that this was. He was not born into privilege like Batman. You know, he had to fight to survive from the time he was a child, right. And that's why maybe he's a stronger person.
But
then they completely undercut that at the end and say, no, actually, that's not the truth.
He was just a dude. You don't know anything about his past.
He was just a guy. Yeah.
For all you know. He was prisoner, too.
Yeah.
We don't know where he's from.
Yeah. I feel like, too, and they undermined, what's her face?
Talia?
Yeah. Now, I hate Ra's al Ghul. I hate the conceit.
So do I.
And I hate the whole League of Shadows thing. But giving them the benefit of the doubt, had they done this right, she could have been a really chilling villain, you know? And I think they squandered it. I don't know if it was her fault. You know, I don't know if it was just her performance or what. But, you know, it's almost like you get to the end of the movie and you're supposed to feel this crushing defeat that they've gone through all of this, mm-hmm. even all this stuff that they didn't realize, you know, the fact that she was pulling the strings, and they get out into the street with this giant bomb, mm-hmm. and she's like, you can't do anything about it. You know, you can't get it back to the thing. You're going to need me to arm it. I'm about to die.
Sorry.
I win. It's supposed to be this crushing defeat.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah.
You just don't care. You know, you're just like, there's no question that Batman's going to pull some ace.
He's got a jet.
Right, yeah. And which is a whole other problem
stupid
that
part
I have with not just the jet, but with the James Bond gadgets that are at the heart of Nolan's trilogy.
Right.
The fact that he has this limitless reserve of new things to play with that mm-hmm. happen to have a specific value in the upcoming story.
That's very traditional.
I know, but that's
shark
the
spray.
That's the problem,
shark
though.
Repellent.
Nolan's story is supposed to be
manta
based
ray repellent.
Nolan's story is supposed to be based in the real world.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
In the real world,
seemingly
people don't have this access, and frankly, it's much less interesting because he does. He never struggles. He never struggles the way he needs to.
The things I liked in Dark Knight Rises mm-hmm. Were Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
And I liked, still, of course, loved Commissioner Gordon.
Gary Oldman. Yeah.
I like the mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sort of a non-entity in the movies for the most part, but he's kind of this... I don't know. There's something about him that I just like, how kind of clueless he seems.
He is
to
very
be.
Gotham.
Yeah, like, he
seems
totally
a very
is.
Good embodiment of
right,
that
you're right.
City.
Did I like anything else? I absolutely detested the ending. It was the worst. It made everything not matter anymore.
The problem, and this is only a problem if you do not follow that notion that I said earlier about this being the inevitable breakdown of things taken to their extreme. Mm-hmm. If you go with that, then I guess this is all right. But it's every movie, almost with an increasing... Well, no, I can't say that. I think The Dark Knight was worse. But in every case, you start off with something that is... subtle. Mm-hmm. You know, you start off with this very measured subtlety and very controlled. He's very deliberate in his decisions. Nolan is, you mm-hmm. know, and almost minutely, you know, to certain details. And it goes off the rails. It goes completely off the rails. The subtlety just drops out from underneath it. You know, the Two-Face crap in Dark Knight is such a bastardization of that subtlety that he has established. Yeah. Now, again, like I said, if he's going for that, if that's what his underlying theme is with these movies, that...
But should the... Sorry.
No,
sort
no,
of
go
a
ahead.
Broader question. Should the film... Should the filmmaking mimic...
Deteriorate?
The story? Yeah.
In the same way? I don't know. I mean, I can see the argument for it.
In some instances, but... when you're making a blockbuster, big budget, you know, popcorn movie, and you know, he's probably not trying to make that, but it's what he's making.
And I think people give him more credit,
yeah,
as an artiste than he really wants or
sure.
is aspiring to. I think sure. people really do think of him as more
of an auteur.
Yeah, yeah, and not even so much that. Just I think people. I think he's the smart mm-hmm. Hollywood guy, right?
You yeah,
know, he's the guy who doesn't do dumb movies. You know, everything about him, and he's a creepy dude. He's a really creepy guy,
and he's made some really great movies.
He's made some good, solid movies.
Yeah.
I don't think he's yet made a great movie, but
I think The Dark Knight was great.
But it's compromised. It falls
is compromised.
Apart. I don't think you're you can right, call it right. a great movie if it's compromised
you're right.
woefully at the end.
So what angers me about The Dark Knight Rises, the ending, isn't necessarily the bomb thing. Like,
yeah.
as dumb as that was, and as also unbelievable as it is, what really made me angry was that, you know, at the end of the movie, Alfred is in Paris or wherever mm-hmm. at his little coffee cafe place. And he looks over and, oh, guess what? Guess who's still alive?
So goddamn on the nose,
and
that
I don't,
ending. Yeah.
And I almost wouldn't care if it was just Bruce Wayne sitting there. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's there with Selina Kyle, as if that's a relationship that's going to work... As if, like, okay, now we don't have to be Batman and Catwoman anymore.
So now
you don't have to be
out.
A thief. Like, we're going to be fine now. And we're in
yeah,
love.
Even though we don't really know each other. Even though
it's
I haven't
so...
spoken to another human being in 8 years.
Yeah.
Even though
I spent yeah. 8 years wallowing in despair over a girl that I never actually
didn't
dated.
Really have a relationship
yeah.
with. Yeah.
We're, you and me are going to have a real healthy relationship. And don't worry, our future is bright.
Yeah. Maybe we're not supposed
yeah,
to take that as literal. Maybe that's his vision. Maybe that's his dying.
Who's dying?
Batman's.
Oh, I thought maybe Alfred was dying in that cafe.
No, I like the idea. I'm going to go with this from now on because this makes me feel a lot better about that coda. That Batman or Bruce Wayne does die at the end of that movie.
And we
that's,
see his
that's
last
what he sees
vision.
In his last thought. Yeah, he's thinking back to what Alfred said.
Okay.
He's picturing himself with Selina Kyle.
Fine.
I think that, how about that is less absurd than the actuality of him.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
And I like hinting that the John Blake character is going to take on the mantle.
On. Yeah.
And I'd love to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that role, but I don't know that. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to. I don't know.
I think it probably depends on the level of commitment that he's expected. You know, like a Justice League one-off with the potential to do more Batman movies maybe would be a little more appealing than being locked in for another trilogy or something. I'm still amazed that Christian Bale actually went for that. You know?
He didn't really, though.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
He didn't do a whole lot of acting in those movies.
No.
He did a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
And
which is what he does.
Talking.
I mean, that's my impression of what Christian Bale does as a person.
All right. Well, so the DC universe as such right now kind of consists of Superman and Batman. Mm-hmm. Got a Green Lantern out there that didn't really do well. So the big question is, you know, how's Superman going to do? And
what can they do
and how
here?
Will Justice League turn out?
And I want not... I guess partially devil's advocate, but I really do want DC to pull it off.
So do I.
I want them to make something that is surprisingly awesome. I want something that's better than the Avengers.
They have such good source material. The Flash is an excellent character and totally underappreciated.
Yeah.
And I won't get into that because I don't think we really have time, but... And maybe we'll do a comics episode.
Yeah,
we can get into
The
Flash. The Flash has so much potential. Green Lantern had and still has potential. The nice thing about Grease Lantern. The nice thing about the nice thing about Green Lantern is you can have different Green Lanterns. It doesn't have to be the Ryan Reynolds character. It doesn't have to be Hal Jordan.
Yeah,
it could be any other number of Green Lanterns that get to be in the Justice League movie. You've got Wonder Woman, you've got the Martian Man, you've got great characters.
Yeah.
That movie could can be awesome.
Yeah.
It can be better than Avengers.
Yes.
But the question
But is, it's going to, it's hard.
There's a long,
it's going to be
long
hard.
Road
yeah.
to that success. They might get there.
I hope they do.
Yeah. We'll pull it. Let's pull this one back out when Justice League comes out. But for now, let's put it in the archive.